From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Colonel Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Great to see you guys. Thank you. Thank you so much. We do have a great show for you today. 80s film icon Molly Ringwald will be with us later, which is pretty cool. But first, the sports world is abuzz, waiting to find out where LeBron James is going to play basketball. Now, every NBA city is trying to woo him. The New Jersey Nets, for example, got Jay-Z to give him the hard sell. But we here in Chicago, we have got a secret weapon.
Hi, LeBron. It's me, Carl. Hey, look, LeBron, you come to Chicago, and I'll record the greeting on your home answering machine or voicemail.
Well, the rest of you better hurry up and call, because LeBron's going to be bursting in any second. The number here is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Caitlin, and I'm calling from Philadelphia.
Hey, Caitlin's a lovely name. What's up in Philadelphia?
We're actually having a nice summer day as opposed to the stinky, soggy, muggy weather we were having a few days ago.
And what do you do there?
I'm a registered nurse. I actually just got off a 12-hour shift an hour ago or so.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't that a very stressful job?
It's never boring, that's for sure.
Do you have access to drugs?
Don't get upset. He asks that of everyone. Caitlin, let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, a comedian who is performing at the Gene Wagner Performing Arts Center in Salt Lake City and at the Tower Theater in Fresno, California, July 16th and 17th. Paula Poundstone is right here.
Hi, Paula.
Next up, you know her from Saturday Night Live and the monologues God Said Ha and Letting Go of God. We know her as Julia Sweeney is right here.
Hi, Julia.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Finally, it's a humorist and the author of the new book, Driving Like Crazy, Mr. P.J. O'Rourke.
Hi, Caitlin.
Hi, P.J.
Caitlin, welcome to the show. Now, you're going to play Who's Carl This Time? Carl Castle is going to read you three quotes from the week's news. If you correctly identify or explain just two of them, you'll win our prize. Carl's voice on your home answering machine or voicemail. You ready to play?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. Now, for your first quote, we want you to listen to a very shocked resident of a New Jersey suburb talking about her neighbor who was just taken away by the FBI.
They couldn't have been. Look what she did with the hydrangeas.
So that woman was surprised her neighbor turned out to be what?
A deep undercover Russian spy.
Yes, indeed. It's so cool. The FBI, they swoop in. They arrest 11 people living and working among us, our friends and neighbors. The spies, it's just like out of a movie. But as it turns out, it's a really dull movie.
Russia has all our hydrangea secrets.
It's true. Well, that's the question. Why would Russia go to the trouble and time to secret their agents in our suburbs? What could they possibly learn? We have infiltrated Montclair, New Jersey PTA and are destabilizing it from within. And the Russian spymaster's like, excellent work, Agent X. Now infiltrate Olive Garden and steal secret of never-ending pasta bowl. And this is one of their passphrases, these spies, that to identify yourself to another spy. The first person says, excuse me, but haven't we met in California last summer? And the response is, no, I think it was the Hamptons, which confirms the person you're speaking to is either a Russian spy or one of the Real Housewives of New York.
Right. Is that really what they were saying?
Yes.
They really said that?
That was a real one.
And they have other cities, too, because they had other ones where they'd say, didn't I know you in Milan?
Yes.
No, it was in
Moscow.
Prague.
I mean,
no.
Oh, did I say that out loud? I mean, Yonkers.
It's actually kind of hard to square this whole thing with our image of spies. You know, like imagine James Bond getting married to Pussy Galore.
This is wrecking
and settling down in
Yonkers.
Montclair. Or wherever. It'd be like, it's James Bond, view to a cul-de-sac. He'd have a minivan, but it'd be a special minivan from Q. It would instantly transform into a riding mower. Anyway, very good, Caitlin. Here is your next quote.
We have to have a little back and forth every once in a while, or this place would be boring as hell, I tell you.
That was Senator Orrin Hatch doing his best to keep what hearings interesting this week?
Alina Kagan's Supreme Court nominee. Yeah.
Yes, I was going to give you a hint. He failed. Yes, the Kagan hearings. Alina Kagan herself once said that Supreme Court nomination hearings were vapid and boring, and nominees should be required to say what they really thought. This week, she backed off that position so fast, she left a nominee-shaped hole in the back wall of the hearing room. In fact, Kagan said, you know, she had to defend herself. You know, you said these were boring and nominees should speak their minds. And she said, well, actually, she was advised to say nothing of her actual opinions by Senator Hatch himself. Can you imagine that? Being taught to be boring by Orrin Hatch? That's like free racism lessons from Mel Gibson.
There was a good line of questioning, though, about whether or not Congress could pass a law requiring everybody to eat fruits and vegetables.
Right.
And how would she feel about that?
Yeah, she said that they could, but that fruit roll-ups would come under. She said that's opening up a can of worms.
Yeah.
Because then you got your gushers and your fruit roll-ups, and that's going to be a problem.
And would tomatoes be a fruit or a vegetable?
Well, that, again, has to be
That's
gone into.
That's been debated.
She can't.
Peanuts.
Exactly. Well, you just want to kick the forefathers for not being clear about the tomato.
You do.
Yeah.
It looked like smooth sailing for Kagan, but then just at the very end, at the very last day, Senator Feinstein asked, haven't we met in California last summer? And Kagan said, no, I think it was the Hamptons.
Uh-oh!
All right, here's your last quote.
There are lots of things I can do now, but at the top of the list is getting a tattoo and a motorcycle. What's something you'd never do?
That was somebody who was hanging up his suspenders after 25 years on CNN. Who was it?
Oh, man, that's Larry King.
It is Larry King. The great interviewer is retiring from CNN soon after the news hit that his ratings had sunk to around 750,000 people per night. Basically, his audience was composed entirely of his ex-wives and children. That's right. He is retiring to spend more time with his families. He said this week, he was reflecting on his career, he said that he never had prepared for an interview. Really? He just comes up with questions. He comes up with questions like, so, what's it like to be you, off the top of his head?
He shocked the nation with that one.
Yeah.
To me, I don't know, the endless questions about Anna Nicole Smith coming up, regardless of who he was interviewing.
You were interviewed by him, though.
I was interviewed by him. I was interviewed by him before Anna Nicole Smith OD'd, and he still asked me about it. It was hard to get him on topic.
We find it hard to imagine him in retirement, mainly because cable news was the one place he could be himself and not seem absolutely nuts. How's he going to manage just puttering around the house in his suspender jammies? Doing interviews, you know, at breakfast. Cornflakes, do you have a question for the spoon?
I said feel to be covered with milk.
Wife in the toilet, you're next. Larry, would you close the door, please? Carl, how did Caitlin do?
Caitlin was perfect, Peter. 3 correct answers, so Caitlin, you win our prize.
Well done.
Hey, Caitlin.